T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
That's right, another day in paradise. This was a strange day. You probably all read about it, but very important.
That's the president here. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start the afternoon by saying I knew nothing about this until this morning. I'd missed it last night. Look, we get off the air at 6 o'clock. I think the raid happened, they said, 6:30. I don't know when it broke, but what I do know is that I was focused on Better Call Saul and nothing else last night. So I dug in. I watched Better Call Saul. It blew me away. It was awesome. No spoilers for those people watching. We have one episode left. By the way, here I almost sent you a text, Sue. Carol Burnett is not a throwaway character in Better Call Saul. Not a throwaway character, and that's all I'm going to say. So then I wake up this morning and I find out that, yes, federal agents have searched Mar-a-Lago because they think that there's classified information there. You know, this is the same level of effort that the Justice Department put into looking into whether Hillary Clinton, who destroyed 30,000 plus emails, had committed any crime. So I don't really know what to think. People keep asking me, what do you think about all this? I think I want to take a bit, and this is my approach on a lot of these things, a bit of a wait-and-see approach, because you don't know exactly what they found. Now, is this politically motivated? It seems like it is politically motivated. And if you want to know the motivation, I don't think the motivation is to get Trump behind bars. I think it's to disqualify him
as a candidate
from running for office, which is possible if he has, I suppose, the classified documents. Let's get some reaction here today. That was the president. Here is Karine in the press room. Apparently, the current president didn't know about this.
No, the president was not briefed, was not aware of it. No, no one at the White House was given a heads up. No, that did not happen.
All right. Well, we probably would believe that. I don't know if they would have done that. But I do think that Merrick Garland, the attorney general who, you know, sicked the FBI on parents going to school board meetings, might have some questions to answer here as well.
The Justice Department conducts investigations independently, and we leave any law enforcement matters to them. It would not be appropriate for us to comment on any ongoing investigations. I can say that President Biden has been unequivocal since the campaign. He believes in the rule of law, in the independence of the Justice Department investigations, that those investigations should be free from political influence, and he has held that commitment as president.
Well, one thing that is interesting about this, and no matter where you are on Trump, this is historic because nobody thinks this has ever happened before. I mean, we can't go back into history and recall a case where the FBI searched the home of a former president. So if you go by the, well, where there's smoke, there's fire, maybe there's something in here. I have no idea. That's why I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach. What's interesting for me is if you would have a story that broke like this overnight with a former president's home being searched, in most circumstances, if it wasn't Donald Trump, everyone would be like, oh, can you believe it? I would have found out about this last night if it wasn't Trump. But it's like when it's Trump, everyone sort of expects maybe that it's going to happen. Now, Ducey's not going to let Karine Jean-Pierre off the hook on the answer about political motivation.
Is this administration weaponizing the Justice Department and the FBI against political opponents?
Peter, the president believes in the rule of law. The president believes in the independence of the Department
of
Justice.
That's a yes or no.
No, it's a yes or a no for you. I'm answering the question. You may not like it, but I'm answering the question. I'm answering the question, and I'm telling you that we are not going to comment on a criminal investigation. The president has been very clear. I laid out what his thoughts were back on January 7th in 2021 about how he saw the Department of Justice. And I'm just going to leave it there. We're not going to comment from here, from this White House, on a criminal investigation that is currently happening.
So a couple of months ago, maybe not even a couple of months ago, this was back in June, earlier in the summer, you had some DOJ investigators that met with some attorneys that had worked with the president. And the attorneys took them into a basement room where there were boxes of materials that were being stored. This is all according to a source, right? Wall Street Journal is reporting this, New York Times and others. The investigators looked around. They left. The report says that Mr. Trump was present briefly during that visit. There was a little small talk, but not answering questions. So on June 8th, the Justice Department sends a letter to the president's lawyers to further secure the room where the documents were stored, according to the source, prompting the staff to lock the room. On Monday, FBI agents seized paper, according to Christina Bopp. That was the attorney that was present during, or at least one of the attorneys that was present during the search. Mr. Trump was in New York at the time. So you have all kinds of real specific rules when it comes to the handling of classified information, which includes they have to remain at the facilities designed to store them. And it doesn't really, we don't know exactly how what happened in June with that visit that included classified documents plays into yesterday. However, it does seem like the two are related. Now, Kayleigh McEnany, of course, used to work for this president. The former President Trump says there's no doubt this is personal.
Very personal for someone who the FBI was, you could argue, looking at for 6 years. I mean, we know about the dossier. We know the way it was peddled. We know that there was an insurance policy, if you read Peter Strzok's text. So all of the things President Trump was saying, this just pours fuel on that fire.
All right. So Lindsey Graham says that he spoke with Trump today.
The FBI, when it comes to Trump, has lost their way. This unending desire to destroy Trump and his family is frustrating. President Trump and I got started off kind of tough, but I admired him as president. I don't agree with everything he says or does. I've talked to him twice today, and I told him that, you know, there's legal systems in this country. Avail yourself of it. And time will tell as to what's going on. What you need to do is you need to make sure you show up and vote, stop some of this madness. And we do have a legal system in this country, and we'll get to the bottom of it like did with the Mueller investigation.
So you do have federal law that makes it a crime to conceal, remove, or destroy records filed with courts or in public offices. And that's punishable with a fine and up to 3 years in prison. Now, government employees who are, this is where I think maybe the motivation is. If you're a government employee convicted of breaking that statute, oh, I don't know. Let's say that somebody removed documents from the Supreme Court and leaked it to a news organization of a decision that was being rendered at the time. That would be maybe some sort of violation of federal law, but everyone's forgotten about that as
well. Yep.
But you can be disqualified from holding federal office. Apparently, that would not apply to the president if he were to be found guilty of violating the statute, because this is where it gets tricky constitutionally. The Constitution dictates that the qualifications as a presidential candidate must have, and Congress can't add new ones. So even if that's the motivation, there's a little bit of an unclear path as to whether or not they can get there. Here's Jonathan Turley on Fox.
Well, it's unprecedented on a number of levels, the most obvious being that no president has ever been subject to this type of raid. It's also rare under this particular law. The Presidential Records Act is not a heavily enforced law. It is rarely used for criminal prosecution. Indeed, even in the most egregious past cases, punishment has been relatively light. You know, you had the Sandy Berger case, where you had the former national security advisor who removed material in his socks. It was clearly intentional. He dropped it at a spot where he could recover it later. And Berger didn't serve any jail time. He didn't even have his clearance permanently removed. He was allowed to plead to a misdemeanor. So it's a little bit of a disconnect to see this type of heavy-handed raid occurring.
You know, the other thing is that there is some thought that some of this connects back to January 6th and what happened or what is happening with that commission. It's a big eye roll, I think, from a large portion of the country. I mean, the Trump supporters really don't care. I think a lot of folks in the middle that are exhausted by all this don't care. The people who hate Donald Trump, well, they want him to go to prison. But the reaction is muted because you almost expect controversy around the former president. We're going to talk about it, though, this afternoon from a couple of different perspectives. I'll tell you who's going to be great is Kim Strassel. Kimberly Strassel is with The Wall Street Journal. She's a member of The Wall Street Journal editorial board. We actually invited her to talk about the IRS going into beast mode, all those new agents that are being hired. But I know she's going to have thoughts on this as we get through the afternoon. Mike McKenna, who's with The Washington Times, will weigh in on the Inflation Reduction Act coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Matt Pauly, we're going to introduce you to Matt Pauly. He is a brand new host on KMOX across the building, but also on the Cardinals radio network. And he came from Milwaukee. He'll have some thoughts on what happened with the Brewers trading Hader. Sue's news coming up. The marijuana ballot issue is going to be voted upon for recreational use. Jack Cardetti on that. We have an audio cut of the day. Phil Holloway and a whole lot more on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Hang in there. A little difficult still for me to say the Inflation Reduction Act without laughing, but we're getting more details, and even the president said all kinds of stuff in there. What was his quote from a couple of days ago? All that other stuff. Who knows what's in there? He doesn't even know what's in there. Nobody knows what's in there. A lot of giveaways and things like that, and I don't know how. I'm really kind of shocked, and maybe I shouldn't be, that there's any kind of justification for spending this amount of money considering the situation we're in with inflation right now, and the fact that this is doing exactly the opposite of probably what we should do, especially with the giveaways to the EV industry and things along those lines. Mike McKenna is a columnist for The Washington Times. He wrote about this. He is the president of MWR Strategies. Kind of looked into the details of this. Hey, Mike. Mike, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Excellent. I was reading one thing I read in the Wall Street Journal today was about how you do have billions and billions that are going to go to the factories for these EV makers, so Tesla and all the other manufacturers, but they've actually taken away or at least harmed the tax credit that a bunch of people could get if they buy one of these EVs. And even having said that, who's getting that tax credit? People who can afford, you know, $75,000, $85,000, $105,000 EVs, right?
Yeah, it tilts pretty severely to the upper income folks, right?
Absolutely. All right, so what else did you find in this particular, well, first of all, the naming of it. Let's address that, because obviously this was done for political purposes, because most people will never realize how ironic it is, correct?
Yeah, you know, there's been a bunch of analysis done on it, some by the guys at Wharton at Penn, some by the Tax Foundation, and they've all come to the same conclusion. It's not going to have any. Some by Moody's, they've all come to the same conclusion. It's not going to have any effect on inflation at all. Right? It's not going to. If anything, it might increase it in the.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
First couple of years, so you know it's a you start off with that kind of lie, it's hard to get over it, right?
Absolutely. So when it comes to taxes, because this is one of the cornerstones of this, and we've heard Joe Manchin sort of defend this and say, look, this isn't going to raise taxes on anyone. We're keeping our promise. What do you find there?
Yeah, that's a lie, too. Just the bill itself, right, says right in it, hey, we're going to raise $400 billion in new taxes, and it creates a new corporate minimum tax, probably the most important tax policy change we've done in 25 years in this country. And we did it without any conversation. And, you know, your listeners know, you know, I know, everybody who's over the age of 20 years old in this country knows taxpayers pay taxes, right? Companies don't pay taxes. They ultimately all roll downhill to taxpayers.
Well, that's why I would actually be someone who's in the camp that would roll back the corporate tax to zero. But this is a class warfare game, right? It plays well when you talk to the American people and you say these corporations aren't paying any money, right? They need to ante up just like the rest of us, not realizing the effect that that has on prices that we pay or on, the amount of money they can pay their employees. But the claim there always is, Mike, that they're not doing that anyway. They're just taking the profits. So this is just something that's fair. It's always framed around fairness, isn't it?
That's right. And you know, the funny thing is, again, lots of analysis on this, just on the bill in front of us. Tax Foundation, Tom Phillipson over at the University of Chicago, guys at the Heritage, you know what they all found? Effective tax rate's going to go up for everybody, all quintiles, right? From the lowest to the richest, every citizen's going to wind up paying more money. So it's, and you know, the thing about these analyses, they're not disputed. You know, it's not like somebody else got up and said, no, you're missing something. No. All this stuff has been coming out for the last 3 or 4 days, 5 days, and it has not been disputed by the other side at all, which tells you that it's legit, right?
Yeah, look, I don't even think they care because it's called the Inflation Reduction Act, so they can keep repeating that over and over and over again, and they're going to fool people. But it really should be the Climate Change, Fear Act, because the majority of this bill, I don't know what the percentage is, but a healthy portion of this goes to climate change nonsense, doesn't it?
Yeah, about almost exactly half, right? Almost exactly half. Theoretically, some chunk's going to go to deficit reduction, but that's purely speculative and probably not going to happen. So about $370 billion of the $750 billion going to wind up going to, I'll call it climate change if you'd like. Going to address climate change.
Well, what's the ROI on that? What is the what for the people who think this is the right way to go, the Joe Manchins, the Biden administration, the Democrats who support this, what do they actually think is going to happen here?
Yeah, well, I mean, what they think is going to happen is they're going to get to send off taxpayer money to their donors, which is, of course, what's really going to happen. Is it going to actually do anything about climate change? There's no evidence of that. And even if it, the two analyses have been done on it, have been done by Democratic firms, and one said, well, the range could be anywhere from zero to 500 million tons. The other said the range could be zero to a billion tons. Like, okay, so it could be zero is the bottom line, or it could be a billion tons. And even at a billion tons, you're still spending $3,500 for every ton you reduce. That would be the most expensive way to address climate change that we've seen on the planet so far.
What's the total, Mike? Remind me what these numbers are so astronomical. We're short of a trillion, but it's north of 800 million. Is that what we're talking about here? 800 billion. I'm sorry. 800 billion.
For the bill, you mean?
Yeah. For the whole bill.
Technically, I think it scores at $740 billion, but it's going to wind up being $800 billion before it's all over.
So we have a situation where we spent a good portion of the beginning part of the summer talking about trying to make schools safer. And that seemed to be on a lot of people's minds, and we had ideas, and then you get gun control out there. And it doesn't seem outrageous to me to spend, I don't know, $50 billion, $75 billion, $100 billion, $150 billion, $200 billion to make schools safer and to make them, less soft targets. But we're going to just give all this money away, as we've been doing here for the past several years, to special interests. And now, mind you, the Republicans are pretty good at this sometimes as well. But I don't think the American people have patience for not hearing that there's money for some other things that might actually help them. And maybe they're on to this administration just a little bit. At least I'm hopeful.
The funny thing is the senator who made that argument the best, the argument you just made, he made it the best, was Bernie Sanders. You know, Bernie Sanders went through his laundry list of stuff he'd like to spend $800 billion on. And at the end of it, he's like, I don't want to hear that we can't afford stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And he, you know, my column right before this one was entitled Senator Sanders is Right, because that he is right. You know, it's we're now kind of locked into this ridiculous conversation where the priorities of the senators wind up getting addressed, not the priorities of the American people.
And if you just kind of go through these behemoth pieces of legislation, and again, I'm going to put some blame on the Republicans as well. Nobody ever knows what's in these packages before they vote. The president doesn't know what's in here. There's so much. It wasn't vetted whatsoever. There weren't pros and cons. Hey, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do that. It was just the staff and the special interests put it together. It gets voted upon so they can call it the Inflation Reduction Act, and then the trouble starts after that. I mean, and this is on repeat, right?
Yeah. Let me give you a real specific example of this case that sort of makes your point. The draft legislation came out last Thursday night. It was 350 pages. I know because I read through it Thursday night while I was watching baseball. I think I was watching the Yankees lose to the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was a great night. I was there at that game. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm a Yankees fan, so I had mixed feelings about it. Anyway, so 350 pages. The bill they voted on Sunday had 700 pages. I have no idea what's in those.
Yeah, how did that happen, right? It just started multiplying.
Yes. And so it's not even right to say the staff knows. You know, some collection of staff all have a piece of the puzzle, but literally nobody has any idea what's all in there. And you never know until, like, 3 months from now, somebody's going to be like, hey, did you know that provision's in there? No, I didn't know that provision's in there. And I'll give you one more specific example. Right now, as the bill's written, as the legislation's written, there's not an electric car for sale in the United States that is eligible for the tax credit.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And that was one of the things I saw. I mentioned that Wall Street Journal article that, you know, I guess, this is what they said. They said the tax credit could benefit Tesla because it's got such a huge market share, 70% of the market. But let's see here. This is where it gets specific of, and I have to go on down, and I'm not really up to that spot. But they said like 70% of the credits that were available before this bill would not be available the way they wrote this.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, you have people in tax world who say it's worse than that. That no car that's on the market right now is eligible for this tax credit, and that's what you get when you just let one or two people draft stuff, because nobody's looking over their shoulder and saying, I think you made a mistake. You know, it's sloppy. It's lazy. Everybody does it. It's bad for Congress. It's bad for the Republicans. It's bad for the Democrats. It's worse for the citizenry.
Absolutely. Mike McKenna with The Washington Times, the president of MWR Strategies. I appreciate it. We'll see how much of a mess this becomes. I'm going to predict a pretty good mess, right? Thank you, Mike. All right, take care. Oh, you know who's going to join us a little later in the show? It's always great when Kenny Wallace is here, Sue Thomas.
Yay!
He's been out there. He's been visiting Mount Rushmore. So
how about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
That's right. Kenny will be here in the 5 o'clock hour. The Cardinals are in Denver. They take on the Rockies. It's always fun for Nolan Arenado. And, you know, we're in first place over the Brewers. We got a guy on the Cardinals Radio Network working on KMOX right now named Matt Pauly, who came from Milwaukee, the Brewers' flagship station, my former station, WTMJ, and he's now here at KMOX on the Cardinals Radio Network. He's with us in the studio. Mr. Matt Pauly, how are you? Welcome into our studio.
It's nice. This is, I was joking, this is the first time I've been on this side of the building.
Is it really?
Yeah, I've not been anywhere near this studio. So
well,
I got an escort
you.
In, which was good. I was able to find it. So
well, you're new to the market again, but you have St. Louis connections, right?
Yeah, I grew up here. I grew up here, went away from, you know, graduated high school in 2001 and had a baseball journey.
He's so young, Sue. All right, so what's the baseball journey? You graduate from high school. Where? You got to say where.
Went to Ladue.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ladue High School, then went to college at Kansas State. And then after that is when I started my baseball journey that took me from Evansville, Indiana to Albany, Georgia to Burlington, Iowa to Colorado Springs, Colorado, to Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wow. Now, were you doing play-by-play in some of those also?
All of them except for Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yep.
And you went, when did you start at WTMJ?
Like three, that was like 7 years ago, six,
okay.
7 years ago.
And yeah, I left there in 2006, but you worked with a lot of the same people that I know from my time.
Well, I guess 2016 was my first year with them, I think, so it all runs together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we welcome you back to St. Louis. Let's talk a little baseball here. First and foremost, because you came from the Brewers, explain, I cornered you the other day, and I kind of knew the details, but the Brewers trade Hader, right?
Yeah.
We like that. It's good for the Cardinals, but why did they do that? And how, because if you listen to the tea leaves with Rosenthal and some of these national guys, they're like, oh, the clubhouse is not reacting well. And that affects how teams perform.
It absolutely does. I think it was a salary dump. Now, their owner, Mark Attanasio, spoke to the media and in no uncertain terms said this was not a salary dump. I respectfully disagree with him. I don't think it was a salary dump for this year. They brought on salary in the trade that they made, getting Rodgers back from the Padres. But Hader was probably going to make about $15 million next year after arbitration. There's no way they were going to sign him beyond that. So I have no problem calling something a salary dump if you're dumping next year's salary or the year after that's salary. They couldn't afford him moving forward. To me, that's a salary.
And you want to get something in return, right?
Yeah, so that's what they were doing there. I didn't think it was a great return, and I think they could have gotten the exact same return in the offseason, so I didn't understand it.
So, I've heard this described a little bit. I'm going to turn to the Cardinals in a second, but it is something that's important because this plays into the division that, the clubhouse wasn't prepared for it, or there was shock, and you saw even Devin Williams, St. Louis guy, that said, his reaction was kind of weird, right? They didn't like that very much.
Yeah, it caught me off guard. I have a lot of respect for the Brewers and the way they do things from a baseball standpoint. It's obviously very impressive, the team that they've built and how good they've been.
Attanasio is a good owner.
Yeah. So they try, if they're not going to be able to spend as much as other teams because they're in the smallest market in baseball, they go try to be at their best in every other area. And one of those areas is bringing in good guys that can create a good clubhouse environment. They really understand the impact that having a good clubhouse can have on winning baseball games. So that's why I just don't understand it, because that is something they have prioritized, yet that was a missile straight to the clubhouse when they took Hader out of it.
So 7 days ago, we're sitting here, we're waiting. I'm sitting here counting down the minutes to 5 o'clock, thinking, is at this point we knew the Juan Soto thing wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. But then you're thinking, you're going to get this guy who was still available out there, the guy from the Giants that never went.
Oh, Rondon.
Yeah, Rondon. Yeah. There were a couple of targets that didn't come through in the end.
Rodon,
the Cardinals don't make a huge splash, right? But they get two pitchers. They needed pitchers. And boy, the week has turned out pretty well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I've always liked Jose Quintana. Now, he wasn't very good the last 2 years before this year, but he has had a complete resurgence. He was pitching really well with the Pirates. And then I'm going to be really curious, because basically Jordan Montgomery became expendable from the Yankees when they went and got Frankie Montas. I'm going to be really curious at the end of the year to look from the trade deadline on who's got the better numbers. Because Montas doesn't pitch that well outside of Oakland historically, and Montgomery's skill set seems perfect for Busch Stadium. So,
Montas was a guy that the Cardinals had, at least if you believe the reports, on their radar, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The cost would have been more to get Montas than Montgomery, which makes, I think, the Montgomery acquisition that much better.
How about, and I said some of the same things I'm about to say right now in the spring, because I love the guy. I think we get attached to our players. Matt Carpenter's a good example. He got hurt last night, by the way. We'll get to that. But I felt coming out of the spring that Paul DeJong was a guy that was going to have a good early season. He didn't. And then I think a lot of us thought, I was in the camp that thought we're never going to see him on this team again, right? He is going to be a key to this. If you don't get Juan Soto, you need bats, and he's got a bat right now. I mean, it's only a week, but you can see the confidence, Matt, on his face, I think.
Yeah, and what it does is it creates some flexibility, because it doesn't force you to play Nolan Gorman when he's struggling. I wouldn't be shocked to see Gorman maybe at some point get a little bit more time in AAA play every day, because he's not playing every day. But you can look at Edmund, you can look at DeJong, you can look at Gorman, you can look at Donovan, and you can say, which one of these, what's the tandem in the middle infield that makes the most sense today? So we don't know how long this is going to last for DeJong. It'd be great if it lasted the rest of the season and beyond. I think it's a really good life lesson that He did not play well at the beginning of the season. He took his demotion to AAA, and what did he do? He was really professional about it. He put his head down, and now he's back, and he just had one of the greatest weekends that he's ever going to have, playing that huge role in a sweep of the Yankees. So there's something to be learned from the Paul DeJong story.
Absolutely. Matt Pauley is here. He is the new host of Sports Open Line on Camo X and on the Cardinals Radio Network. One of my favorite moments, I told Cusumano this yesterday from the weekend, and it's hard to just pin down just one because that was such a great series, and I went to the game on Friday night. The fist bump by Arenado after his home run during the curtain call, that was a special kind of fist bump, I think. I really do.
This series meant something to this team, and actually that kind of worries me about what's going to happen the next 3 days, because you don't want to completely fall off a cliff when you just, you know, a 162-game baseball season, it's so much about staying even keel. And they obviously had a
emotional
big lift.
Yep.
Yeah. So how do you come off that? How do you avoid a hangover? Yesterday having an off day was really good for this team.
Right.
But yeah, I think this series meant something, and you just felt it just walking around that ballpark. Yeah.
It felt like a playoff weekend.
Yeah, it absolutely did.
So What do you think, you know, as we get into this series with the Rockies? You know, I was saying this, I love my little neighbor next door, Amanda, who's like my daughter's baseball coach. And we were talking baseball last night. We were playing catch out there. Alexa and Amanda and I were just talking about the Cardinals and, you know, this series. And the one thing that you almost have to wonder here about this team moving forward is, obviously, we want the pitching to stay sort of where it is and improve. Do you think Flaherty's coming back? I think I saw a reference to that today, that Flaherty might come back, or is that just something that's off the table?
He's getting set to go on another rehab assignment. If you get anything out of him, it's bonus. I don't think you can count on him. He just can't stay healthy. He hasn't been healthy in 3 years.
Yeah.
At some point, you just say he's not staying healthy. So if he does come back, I think they're going to have the rehab assignment go a little bit longer this time. The last time they probably shortened it up, and that maybe wasn't the best decision. So if you can get something out of him at the end of the season, groovy, but don't bet on it.
So going back to that conversation last night, you know, I said something to her. I don't even know if it made sense. She's, you know, 12 years old. We talk about how teams sometimes play to the level of their competition. Maybe you can argue that the Cardinals did that. They rose above it. And then you get with, you know, the Pirates or the Reds or the Rockies, and they want to play spoilers, but things don't work out. That kind of goes to your point of sort of keeping this even keel and on track moving forward consistently, because you do have a chance to really put the hurt on the Brewers.
Yeah, so, and even beyond the Rockies, and the Rockies aren't very good, but I think your point is even bigger in the sense that this is a year where the Pirates stink, the Cubs stink, and the Reds stink. So between the Cardinals and the Brewers, honestly, the division is largely going to come down to which one of those two teams has a better record against bad teams, because you're playing bad teams so much. So sweeping the Yankees is great. Go beat the Rockies. Go beat the Cubs. Go beat the Reds. Go beat the Pirates. Go beat the Diamondbacks. Go beat bad teams. If you go beat bad teams, the way the schedule is, you don't have to win good teams.
It'd be kind of nice to win this division without having to go into the final weekend and hang on, right?
That would be nice. I don't know if the Brewers are going to go away. They're a good team.
I don't think they will.
Yeah. That pitching, you went led by, you know, Burns and Woodruff. They're really good.
Address, because I don't know if you have this perspective, but you probably do because you were a St. Louis guy, but there's a lot of pain in Milwaukee over the Cardinals. They don't like us.
Oh, they hate
they
us.
Don't like the fact that
well,
we
win. Well, they should. Shouldn't they?
There's a lot of, you know, I didn't realize how, I guess I should have, how damaging 1982 was. But it's not just 82. It's beyond that. And then I said this yesterday. I can just imagine the reaction with the friends that I have from Milwaukee that are Brewers fans after we sweep the Yankees. Like, yeah, damn Cardinals, there they go again, right?
Yeah, they hate the Cardinals. They hate the Cardinals so much. I'll tell you, so my first year hosting Brewers postgame, a friend of mine who's a Brewers fan who I've known forever called into my postgame show and referred to the Cardinals as your Cardinals because I was from St. Louis, and there I am doing Brewers.
Shots
I
fired.
Dumped it. I dumped it. I hit the dump button. I did not let that thing get over
the air,
and I dropped the call immediately. I didn't hide the fact that I was originally from St. Louis, but I certainly did not advertise that fact either.
Look, when I was there, I had a great time. I was with WTMJ for just shy of 10 years, and when I moved there, the Brewers were in the American League, and they finally switched over, I think, in the second year, and then Miller Park was beat. But the ownership of at the time, it was Wendy Selig and Laurel. They were very aware of where my allegiances were, and that was the St. Louis Cardinals. I never tried to hide that. Having said that, I supported the Brewers and rooted for them, except for when the Cardinals were involved, because I just couldn't hide
the allegiances.
You can
only do so much.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. And I was honest about it. Honesty is the best policy. Well, welcome back to St. Louis. You got the family settled?
Yeah, I've got a wife. I've got a 3-year-old daughter. We have 2 dogs. We lived in a hotel for 3 weeks. Oh. Last Thursday was my 40th birthday, and I spent I spent the day moving stuff in. That's how I'm going to remember my 40th birthday, being completely sweaty in 98 St. Louis heat, moving stuff into a new home. But we're getting it all together.
Oh, we love dogs. Sue's got 2 dogs. I have 2 dogs as well, so we're quite fond of our animals here on this side of the building, Matt. Well, welcome back to St. Louis. You'll hear him on the other side on the Cardinals Radio Network. We might drag you in here for some Cardinals and some sports conversations every once in a while. I just wanted to do a little meet and greet here for the 97.1 FM Talk audience. So
anytime.
Thanks for coming in.
I enjoyed it. I should probably come to this side of the floor more often.
Don't be afraid. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Look, I'm, you know, as you probably know, I'm a little new to this side of the building. It's only like 15, 16 months as well. But we welcome all people. It was, you know, Sue, I think I would even admit that it was weird because I wasn't over here a whole lot before I worked over here.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the other side?
Yeah. You get a little nervous. You don't know what everything is going to.
We're nice. We're entertaining.
Nice. There's the new liner for the station, 97.1 FM Talk.
We're nice.
We're nice. Thank you, Matt Pauly. Great to see you. We're going to have a nice version of Sue's News coming up here after the top of the hour on 97.1 FM Talk. Also, a quick update on the campaign for recreational marijuana, near and dear to my heart because my wife works in the industry, and this has been an issue that's been kind of hit or miss, not knowing if it's going to end up on the ballot. It is. So voters in November will have a chance in Missouri to vote on whether or not it'll be recreational. Of course, it's medical right now. Illinois was the same way before they went recreational. We have that. Sue's News. Phil Holloway in the next hour. Kenny Wallace at 525.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.